time now for In Case You Missed It, a look back at the topics of the day. Here's Lauren Brooks.
Florida defeated TCU last night 3-0 behind ace Alex Faedo. Frank, was that the best pitching performance you've ever seen out of a Gator?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was. I think given the magnitude of the game and the ability of the opponent, I mean, he made TCU, which has a very good team, look like a bunch of bad hitters, look like a bad college baseball team, and they're anything but that. I mean, Brent, it wasn't just that they only had two hits in those seven innings and he struck out 11. They couldn't barrel anything up. You know, most games you watch, at some point, someone's going to hit one hard. You're going to have one inning where you have a couple hard-hit balls and you get out of it with a double play. There was none of that. They weren't barreling up. I thought he tied up a good hitting team as well as anyone I've ever seen.
I always think when a guy's going good, he gets you out on waste pitches. And there were a couple of occasions where Faedo was just trying to throw a ball to set something else up, and he still struck. Or he just missed a spot completely, and there were some wild swings. He was tough to barrel up yesterday. He was great. And they're going to need him again. I mean, he's been outstanding. I think the thing that's missing, though, I mean, this Gator off, I mean, O'Sullivan's done such a great job. It's hard to be critical of anything. But, man, if they could find a little bit of offense somewhere, I don't know if it's on the recruiting trail or if it's in the coaching or whatever it is. It's funny. It seems like down the road, Florida State, they can hit. And in Gainesville, they can pitch. And if both could find a little mixture of both elements of the game a little more, which you'd think you'd be able to do. It shouldn't be that one-sided in college baseball. Boy, they'd both be dominant, and they already are pretty dominant.
Faedo retired the last 10 batters he faced. I didn't want him to come out of the game. It ended up being the right call, but, man, he looked phenomenal. I think he could have gone the distance.
Jim Schlossnagel, Lauren, yes. The head coach at TCU, who's seen a lot of baseball, quote, "There's been historic great pitchers come through Rosenblatt, now TD Ameritrade, and tonight has to go down as a great, great performance in college World Series history." That's the TCU coach talking.
He's a fantastic coach.
And he called it one of the best performances in the history of that event.
Yeah, the TCU coach, I can't even say his last name, Schlossnagel, I guess.
Schlossnagel,
yeah. He joked before the game was played last night that Florida has such good defense because the pitchers just strike everybody out.
Yeah.
So right.
Certainly that helps them not to have any errors. Former Florida State golfer Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open with a score of 16 under. Brent, you don't think the elite players are bringing it each week, but you don't want that to take anything away from Koepka.
Yeah, I just don't think the elite guys are bringing it in the majors. I mean, I really don't. I mean, going back to the players especially, I remember that being a talking point of mine, where it's, okay, you can talk all you want about the golf course and how level the parity is in golf, but how about these superstars step up and play? I mean, we talk about other sports, and we see superstars step up to the table in the big events all the times. I'm not sure the golf guys are getting it done right now. From Ricky Fowler, who at least was in the mix, all the way to Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, they've all had moments, but they haven't been as dominant as they could be, at least in my estimation. That being said, Brooks Koepka went and won that golf tournament. That wasn't a backing into a tournament. You know, that wasn't somebody who lost the tournament. That was Brooks Koepka going to get it on the back nine.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka entered the week 141st in greens in regulation on tour, which is below average. He was 62 of 72 greens in regulation in the U.S. Open, so played some fantastic golf for him. And again, that's kind of what doomed Ricky Fowler on Sunday. He only hit 11 greens in regulation, so it just always felt like he had to, you know, try and save par with 8-10-foot putts, and that's not sustainable.
Yeah, I agree and disagree with Brent. Yes, the stars are not outstarring everybody. I think you're right about that, Brent. But I also think it's harder than ever to do that because there are so many good players. When I say parity, I don't mean parity in that everybody's average or equal. I mean there's so many players that are so good, so many players capable of just being ridiculously good for those 4 days that no one is going to dominate. In no time soon are we going to have a hero. I really believe that.
We didn't talk about this, but if Tiger played now, do y'all think he would have won less majors than the 14?
Yeah, you know, that's not fair to Tiger. He is so good. He was so dominant that he might have still been dominating today. I think Tiger would have dominated in any era because I think he dominated in the – people disagree with me. I think he dominated in a more difficult era than Nicklaus did, but both those guys earned those wins.
Yeah, it's a good thought, though. I mean, it's probably debatable. The thing about Tiger is he built this generation.
That's right.
I mean, that's the thing that someday Tiger will get credit for, and I don't know if he gets enough right now in the moment because he's still teetering on playing, you know, or thinks he will. But he built this generation of golfers that Frank talks about being so good, so many. It's because of Tiger Woods.
That really, and that's 100% true. And here's why, Brent. Because back in the day, some good golfers were fluffy, some were thin, some dressed well, some dressed frumpy. It was a collection. Tiger Woods came along, this tall, lean, athletic guy who had this picture-perfect textbook swing, and now you look, they're all the same. Yeah. They all look the same. They're built the same. I loved it when Koepka said he and Dustin Johnson are not only buddies, but they compete so you can lift more weights in the weight room. I'm sorry, but I don't think Lee Trevino,
yeah,
okay, and Billy Casper,
Craig Stadler,
were trying to see who could lift more in the weight room. You know, that's how they all look alike, dress alike, they're the same guy.
I thought of this yesterday. Who will wear the red someday?
Right, right.
Will anybody take over that trait of Tiger Woods to
good
wear
point.
The red on Sunday?
Yeah.
Not yet, but I wonder if anybody will ever adopt that.
Well, doesn't Ricky Fowler wear orange
on
Sunday?
Orange.
Yeah, so certainly in that vein, but. Yeah, you have to be a dominant golfer to really be able to pull it off.
And it might be 15 years down the line,
right,
but some
right.
kid's going to wear red on Sunday.
Right, that's right.
The NBA draft is Thursday night. Hayes, you expect Devin Robinson to be drafted but not to have a successful NBA career.
Yeah, I think he'll be your basic second rounder that'll be forgotten pretty quickly. He has the athleticism, but I don't know that he has the grit that you need. And I don't know that he has the skill set to last on an NBA roster.
I think he needs to be able to shoot the basketball. Because I think we think about all these guys having to be stars. In the NBA, you don't have to necessarily be a star. I mean, look at that Golden State team. 5 through 10 or 11 are not really stars, but they are really good players. And so can you give a team 15 minutes a game? I think Devin Robinson might be able to be that guy with his length and his athleticism. And then the question mark to me is, can he consistently shoot the basketball?
Yeah, I think he might play for a while. He won't take over games because he never took over games. He is a poor man's Corey Brewer. He's Corey Brewer who's not nearly as good, but Corey Brewer took over games. I think the question they've already having about this guy is, why is he all that and didn't dominate?
Yeah.
I think, how did that 6'9", athletic, jump out of the gym, run 100 miles an hour, make 10 3-throws in a row in practice, 10 3-pointers in a row in practice, how did that guy not take over game.
What about Livingston for Golden State? Can he be that guy?
Well,
you know, I mean, can it? I don't know. I have to look
so.
Up Livingston.
Did he
dominate?
I don't think. Well,
in
Sean,
college?
Didn't he come straight from high school? Or
was he high school?
I think he might have been. But Sean Livingston is a dominant athlete, and who came straight from high school. No, he was. But he's built like him.
He is built.
But
like
I don't think he's. I don't think he's got the ball skills that Livingston has.
The style of the NBA has changed, where now the big guys have to be able to shoot threes. Frank, you missed the physical guy who was going to make you pay.
Rim protection, physicality. The guy that if you come to the basket, you're going to land on your keister with a headache. Nobody has headaches anymore. It's a finesse game. There's say what you want about the bad boys, but they created a culture. And I liked it when Shaq played and Karl Malone played. I can still remember the time that Karl Malone, I think it was, almost knocked out David Robinson. You remember that? Robinson went to the hospital. And Malone almost knocked him out. Malone called him and said, "Sorry, dude." But you know, and so do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
No one's going to the hospital anymore. And I'm not suggesting I want to see people go to the hospital, but it's that pain is free and easy. And again, Hayes, you had the best line of all. Everybody's a stretch four, not a power four anymore.
Yeah, and you see it even at the center position. You know, the stretch five. It's like, why can't somebody just play in the paint? And
right.
Here, I'm just going to lob you the ball. You know, put your backside into this guy, and then you dunk it on him. At some point, that'll come back to basketball, but we're not close.
A nice fellow on Twitter has the handle Free Miles Jack, who has been freed. He's now the middle linebacker for the Jacks. Says Mark Gasol, Hassan Whiteside, Vucevic. Anthony Towns, DeAndre Jordan, Cauley Steiner, a few of the guys, the big guys now in the NBA, more athletic than some of those older guys we mentioned. The bottom line is, those six guys that are mentioned, if that's the big guy in the NBA,
right.
That's how much it's changed. You know, and there really isn't that, you know, Mutombo, Shaq, all those kinds of guys that we mentioned before.
News came out Friday that cornerback Jalen Ramsey had surgery to repair a core muscle injury. Brent, this is 2 years in a row for the Jaguars cornerback having offseason surgeries. Any concerns there?
I'm not super concerned about that. Yeah, it's a good point in terms of the injury history. They've been minor. I think they've been really minor things. And when you're you know, and you're a finely tuned machine, these NFL guys are, I think some of this stuff is going to happen. This doesn't feel like nagging. It feels quick fix and move on with it. No concern for this year for Jalen Ramsey, as physical of a brand as he plays. But if he is going to be as great as we all think he is, and I'm one of those, you do have to stay healthy. And so far, he stayed fully healthy in the season last year.
On September 10th, DeAndre Hopkins will catch one pass. Jalen Ramsey will pick off two.
Take one back.
I love this guy.
And spike it. I do too.
I wonder if they'll have future Twitter feuds.
Those yes, they will
fun.
If that happens.
Yeah.
About 10 seconds after the game.
I know, right? I would assume so as well. Five-star quarterback Justin Fields decommitted from Penn State and now has visited a bunch of schools. And, Hayes, you say if head coach Jim McElwain is able to win the recruiting battle, it would be the biggest coup ever in Gainesville.
I don't know about ever, but certainly on the level of like Brock Berlin, who came out of Louisiana, and that was anytime you win an out-of-state battle, that means a little bit more. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy in the heart of Bulldog country, five-star. It's a huge position in need. It would be a signee that could potentially change the narrative offensively in Gainesville. So, yeah, I mean, I think it certainly would be harder than Tebow because he was a lifelong Gators fan, and Urban would have almost had to have, I think, messed that up to not sign Tim Tebow. So if McElwain is able to, you know, get Justin Fields to Gainesville, then, yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at, you know, a recruiter who's going from mediocre to, you know, getting pretty excellent on the trail.
And that's the last thing you said, Brent, the last thing Hayes said. There's still doubt about Jim McElwain, the recruiter. That's the question. That's what Justin Fields does. In addition to everything else, is the coach who you wonder, can he go get the big fish, and certainly wonder, can he get him in volume? That could start the whole pipeline.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, you add, if I'm Jim McElwain and I get this guy and you want to question my recruiting, I say, look how we closed the deal, sealed the deal the last couple of years. Even going back to year one, he kind of sealed the deal and everybody thought it was a lost class, not with excellent talent, but at least it was mediocre. Then you look at 2019, they're already talking about that class. You get this guy. And what we talked about earlier, I think this could be the Pied Piper effect. Could this be the guy that helps get others to Gainesville and really – gets huge momentum on the recruiting trail, not just for McElwain, but for the entire program.
And finally, Yankees prospect Gleyber Torres has to undergo Tommy John surgery. And Dr. Kevin Kaplan joined us and said the reason quarterbacks don't typically deal with this injury, Frank, is because they're starting their throw from a different position.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think, like you said, Brent, your arm doesn't go as fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, like Kevin said, the strain on a pitcher's arm, what you're asking it to do, the ball's going 100 miles an hour. Think about how fast 100 miles an hour is. Think about when you're on the highway and you're going 80. All right? It's 20 miles an hour faster than that.
Yeah.
That's why the arm goes.
Yeah, it's a bunch of stress. If you want to see something gross, go tonight to YouTube and slow-mo a Strasburg or one of those guys throwing at 100 miles an hour and look at their arm.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty nasty, really, what happens. And think about how many times they do that in practice games over the years really adds up.
It does seem like this injury from a recovery timeline standpoint is getting better. The Yankees expect Torres to be able to compete in spring training. It almost seemed like 10 years ago, this was like a 2-year
18 months
deal. So that's good to see. And the ACL did the same thing. It used to be like 18 months, maybe even career ending. Now you're seeing that window shrink to more 6 to, 10 months.
All right, boys, that's a wrap.